Many of you know that I've been attending Seattle University's Pastoral Leadership Program. We have had quite a variety of courses, most generally one focus each month. We started with the High Ropes course as the introduction to leadership, went on to Family Systems Theory, Sustaining Pastoral Excellence. My most recent trip was last week. It was a retreat that focused on leading from spiritual depth. But the one I wish to focus on this morning was cross-cultural leadership. Our big assignment was to visit other churches or other ethnic groups' celebrations, and of course, reflect on our experience in a paper. Once again, our individual idea of what normal is was being stretched. We were being asked to expand our horizons. I visited two Christian churches and a Jewish group. Two were quite large groups, and one was very small indeed. Their services were quite interesting in themselves, but that's not what I'm going to talk about right now. I was most curious to see how the different congregations would welcome me as a visitor. I can't quite compare them all equally because I went to the Jewish community with a friend. And she, of course, introduced me around, and my presence was definitely noticed. It was a very small group. Several of them were interested in following up with interfaith projects. One idea that was thrown up as a possibility was a choir concert to support Cher. It was a very congenial visit. I came as myself, and it was accepted as such. At the other two congregations, unfortunately, I had a different reaction. At one, my colleague from Seattle University welcomed me warmly, but no one else did. The service was in Spanish, and I knew that ahead of time. So I felt a bit isolated that way, although he spent a little bit of time translating the homily for me. But not one other person met my eye or smiled at me, except very formally during the greet your neighbor moment. At the other congregation, they said all the right words from the stage, and in English, of course. But the only person who spoke to me after the service was the wife of the visiting Korean pastor. I noticed that no one was speaking to her either, even though they had been exhorted to from at the beginning of the service. I appreciated her words, but I grabbed another cookie from the cookie and coffee bar and fled. I might as well have been in the closet. I've spoken to others who have been visiting new churches new to them. The welcome varies, as you might expect. But maybe it also depends on how the visitor presents themselves as well. Meeting people is, after all, a reciprocal act. I waited for someone to talk to me, rather than walking up and introducing myself. Perhaps I should have brought my dog, Lizzie. I don't have a kid. That would have helped, too. I've entitled this service Beyond Welcoming. Where am I going with this? Maybe I'm referring to radical hospitality, something we've reflected on previously as recently as last fall. But many of you know that the term welcoming congregation refers to the explicit program that Unitarian Universalists have used to educate themselves about gender orientation issues. I believe they are connected. Welcoming is hospitality. It's radical when we stretch ourselves to go beyond our usual kind of connections. I appreciate so much the work done by Edmontonian Stan Calder and many other folks who helped us raise the consciousness of many, many Unitarian Universalists about what it means to welcome gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual folks. I knew Stan when we lived in Alberta. He was one of the first teachers to come out as a gay man in Alberta. He did so in his Unitarian church with the executive director of the Alberta Teachers Association in the audience in 1972. That executive director of the Alberta Teachers Association, being Bernie, went up to him immediately and said, "Don't worry, it's okay." Stan died in the last couple months, and so there was an article about him in the Edmonton Journal, and it reported that Stan had had problems before this time with rumors and lies being spread about him. So this was an important moment for him to be able to come out into an affirming community. So when I see this plaque here that says Beacon Unitarian Congregation is a welcoming congregation, I think of Stan and how far we as a society have come and how hard Beacon has worked to understand ourselves and others. That's what the little rainbow stripes on our name tags mean, that we are supportive of welcoming congregation. If you'd like one for your name tag, you all have your name tag with you, right? Get it out. Put it on. That's for all of those folks who maybe you've met once or twice but can't remember your name. It's called being welcoming. Anyway, if you'd like one for your name tag, I have a few. And they will be at the greeter's table. Thank you to Joy Silver for bringing those. But the plaque certifies that we have worked hard to gain at least some understanding of what it means to live the life of a gender minority in a society not always welcoming. Peggy Lunderville and Allegra Sloman spearheaded the effort here at Beacon in the winter of 2003-2004. It was already happening when I got here, so I can't take any of this credit. Many of us spent many Sunday afternoons listening to stories of others, our own and those of others, particularly the kinds of stories we hadn't heard much before, what it's like to be in the closet and to come out. We all learned a lot. When the vote to determine whether Beacon would want to be an official welcoming congregation was taken at a meeting, it was no contest. I believe it was unanimous. The Unitarian Church of Edmonton, where Stan Calder led the curriculum writing, was the first welcoming congregation, not only in Canada, but in all of the UUA. In 1992, Beacon was the 20th congregation in Canada to obtain the certification, and there now are 33 in Canada, with 6 more in process. That's out of 49 congregations, or 94% of Unitarians who are members of congregations. We know that Stats Canada always counts more than we do. I haven't heard of any ministers or any congregations among us who refuse to perform legal weddings for gays and lesbians. We as individuals, congregations, and even more so society as a whole have come a long way since the CUC first passed resolutions supporting gay rights in 1978 and 1984. Unitarian Universalist Minister Alison Barrett reminds us why we do this. Because of the role that religion has historically played in denying gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people their full humanity, I believe that we now have a special calling to reach out to our BGLT brothers and sisters. We need to offer an explicit welcome because the world can be a very unwelcoming place. We need to offer radical acceptance because neither family nor society can always be counted on to be accepting. We need to offer unconditional love because love is the heart of the religious community. And love is at the heart of radical hospitality. Love, seen as radical respect and honoring of each individual as a unique person with all their faults and follies and gifts. Perhaps, ironically, it is through radical hospitality that we come to know ourselves more deeply. Life coach David Reinick writes in the UU World magazine, "A Zen teacher once observed, everything you encounter is yourself." Reinick continues, "If we believe other people exist only outside of us, we forget that our experience of them is always a personal experience. We see them through the filters of our idiosyncratic experience, our beliefs, and our senses. The resulting picture becomes a combination of who they are and who we are. In that sense, we are part of everything that we encounter. So this journey of hospitality is simultaneously inward and outward. We are always meeting ourselves in the form of the other. So if welcoming is a means of expressing who I am, as I greet you, I greet myself as well. I should be grateful to you for giving me the opportunity to move deeper into my own life, to align my actions with my deepest values and to encourage the mystery of life in this moment. In true hospitality, we are both giving and receiving at the same time. The traditional hierarchy dissolves into something more egalitarian, and hospitality is not duty, it becomes an opportunity. Yes, it takes practice to do this well. That's why it's called a spiritual practice. No one is going to be perfect each time. And maybe that is why this topic is something that I carry around. I've preached it at two other congregations. I think I need to learn something here. I think it's a given that it's easiest to relate to folks most like us. If we want to truly know and understand those who are socially quite different from ourselves, we must pay close attention to how we speak and interact and engage each and every day. What kind of language do we use? A few weeks ago, I wrote a letter to a Vancouver Sun columnist about his use of the word mankind when he meant all humanity. He was amazed that it bothered me. However, he had to acknowledge that if that was what I carried away from his column, he had not succeeded in conveying his message. His message was indeed important, but I got stuck on one word. He's not the only one who makes those kind of mistakes. I know I do it too. Not intentionally, but without the intention to not offend. That is, to take care to be inclusive in this instance. We might reflect on how ready we are to include various visitors who might show up on our doorstep. Are we ready for those who can't hear very well? Are we ready for someone who needs a bigger chair than these little ones? Are we ready for someone with obvious mental health challenges? Are we ready for someone who needs a support group? I know we hear delightful stories of how well we here at Beacon do at welcoming folks. This is good. I'm so proud to be part of such a group. But I know we're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. We are good because we don't take it for granted, I think, and we continue to reflect on why this is important and where it will take us. And one day, I hope, in the not too distant future, we will have to grapple with the reality that our welcome is limited by the number of chairs we have. What will we do then? The question is not, are we welcoming to gays and lesbians and bisexuals and transgendered folks? The question really is, how generous with our spirit are we? Are we able to open ourselves to the folks we are not familiar with, whatever their label?